Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Liv Collins. She has co-written and is co-starring in a new horror thriller feature called Dead Sight, out July 2nd from RLJE Films. Hi, Liv, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
pretty good. It's not often that I get to talk to someone who's the writer-actor in a feature like this. So tell me, how did you come upon this project, and were you the writer first and then the actor later, or the other way around?
I was the writer first. So my husband, Jesse Thomas Cook, was getting all set up to make another film, and we were trying to figure out what the script was going to be. And my co-writer, Kevin, and I and Jess were trying to figure it all out. And we came up with this idea of how would a temporarily blind man do in this situation. And then we created the character of Mara as the police officer. And one day we were location scouting, and I was kind of complaining, like, oh, I love this character. Like, she's so cool. But at the time, I was 7 months pregnant, and the character wasn't pregnant, and was tired. So huge, and then Jesse was like, maybe you should just play Mara, and we should make her pregnant. And then we have like two of the most vulnerable people in the zombie apocalypse trying to survive together. And I was, at first I thought no, and then I was like yes. So I was pumped. So I. Yeah, we had a blast. I was an actor second, but I was so excited to play Mara.
So how did adding your character being pregnant to the story change anything that in the script that you had to write? Because the protagonist, Ben, his situation is completely unknown from beginning to end. And the way these two come together and just sort of try to figure things out, you have one who's heavily pregnant, you have one who's blind, and they're trying to help each other out and not always succeeding, but still trying to fight through things and survive.
Adding the pregnancy actually helped us figure out a lot of kinks in the script. We toyed with so many different options and ideas, and then once we added the pregnancy, it kind of created these extra borders and barriers that, like, you know, okay, well, we obviously can't, she can't just die right away, and now she has to go into labor, and there's all of these things that kind of added to the story that helped us, because there's so much freedom in the beginning. And then once you add sort of this extra layer, it really helped us to sort out some major questions that we had. And this was ever evolving. Like, even on set, we would cut out big chunks of dialogue and say, nope, let's not say that. Let's keep that up to the viewer's imagination. And so it actually helped a lot. To help us sort everything out.
So what sort of story challenge did you have that the pregnancy angle helped with?
It helped us to figure out how their dynamics would change. So in the beginning, Mara, you know, she kind of is helping Ben, and then because Ben sort of regaining his sight as the film moved forward, and he's kind of healing, and then she's progressively getting worse as her labor is kind of like induced by the stress, that their dynamic then shifts, and he has to be more of a caretaker towards her. And so that really helps, because you're trying to figure out, you know, would she get shot? She would have to get injured or something, like, would have to happen story-wise to ignite that shift. And so that was a big question answered. Oh, well, obviously she'll start to go into labor, and then that will help to shift that that progression in the character's relationship and
cool.
dynamic.
Cool. So where was this filmed? Because you could tell it was supposed to be winter or the beginning of winter, and it looked like people were really cold on a couple of those shots.
It was very cold. So we filmed, we live in Collingwood, Ontario, and we filmed in Collingwood, and we filmed in Owen Sound, and just sort of like on the back, all on the back roads in southern Ontario. And we were preparing for heavy snowfall because once we get hit with snow, like we're hit with snow, and we filmed at the very beginning of December, like end of November. And so we were preparing for full snow. That's why my character has such a huge winter coat on, because I was like, I want to be warm. And then it didn't snow, and we had to start filming before Christmas. So we just started filming, and so we, you know, there was no snow. And then towards the end of our shoot, we got hit with a huge blizzard, and we had to stop all filming because we'd already shown that there was no snow and couldn't just all of a sudden have there be this massive blizzard that comes out of nowhere because we'd shot out of order and everything. So we had to actually stop filming, which was hard, and pick up again in April. And I had my baby in February, so I had to wear a prosthetic belly in April when we did our pickup shots, like we continued the filming. But it actually allowed for me to do stunt work because I didn't have the baby in my tummy anymore, and I could, you know, wrestle some zombies in the cemetery and have a lot more fun with my character. So it actually all worked out.
Cool. And some of the locations were very intriguing. The falling down nature, the abandoned nature of some of the buildings. Personally, in a unknown zombie apocalypse kind of situation, they didn't look conducive towards a shelter in place sort of situation. So I'm like, no, don't go in that house. Don't go in that house. It's a bad idea. No, you went in the house. And but
I
from
know.
just cinematographies wise, they looked absolutely gorgeous from a decrepit sort of run away as fast as you can situation. Were these actual people's locations or just abandoned buildings you found?
So a good friend of ours, Barry Moore, lives in Owen Sound, and he owns multiple properties. The house that we filmed at is called the Neyland Farmhouse. It's an old cauliflower farm, and we added the wood on the windows and stuff like that. But it is genuinely like that. That is how his house is, and he kind of treats them like storage units. He's a collector of antiques, so he has all this really beautiful furniture. But they are scary, and they're old, and they have no heat. They're very cold and damp, and it's like the perfect location for a zombie film. So when we came up with the idea of Dead Site, it was kind of based around knowing we had that location, and it really helped us to build our story and knowing that this would kind of be the hub for Ben and Mara where they meet. And so creepy, you know. It was, our art department had fun setting it up, and
Now, you mentioned having to film parts of this in November and December and other parts of it in April. How long was the editing process to sort of stitch all that together?
Jesse is a very fast editor. I don't think I know a faster editor than him. We finished right before Christmas, and we have three kids, so as soon as we finished filming, well, we had the two at the time, I had to run out and get ready for Christmas, and he kind of took a break because we were so wiped out from the shoot. And I think he started editing in January, and at what he could, and then that also could allow us to figure out what else we had to film in April. And then he was editing right after that in April, and I think it was in May he discovered a major continuity error that no one picked up. And so we had to go back and film a little scene to fix that. And that was in June. And then I think he finished, I can't remember when he finished it, but it was pretty quick. Like, it was under a year because we then premiered it at Blood and Snow Film Festival, which was in, I can't remember now, or October. So it was pretty quick. It was under a year. And with meeting all of those pickup shoot days on top of it all, he worked very quick.
So how was the promotional, the film circuit tour with this? Because you premiered at the Blood and the Snow Canadian Film Festival in 2018, but did you play at other festivals, and what sort of audience reaction did you have?
I love Blood and the Snow Film Fest. I was so pumped that I got in there because it's such a welcoming fest, and the Toronto indie film scene is very tight-knit. And so we just played at the Blood and the Snow Film Fest, and the audience reaction was great. And, you know, a lot of people didn't know that I was actually pregnant, other than friends of ours and stuff. So when we did the Q&A, I was sure to tell everyone. And like, that was Jimmy. And it's hard when you go in there because you know there's going to be people who like it and there's going to be people who don't. And you just kind of have to live it. And I was just pumped for everyone to see it because we were proud of it. And everyone was excited to see it because they were like, what is this you guys did like under the radar? What is this? And I feel like people kind of felt like it's got a little bit of a video game vibe to it, and it's and since we filmed it so locally, that's also fun too. The people know that we filmed so close to Toronto.
So what sort of shall we say constructive criticism did you field on this one?
Like that I received?
Yeah. You said you had watchers, audience members who did like it and who didn't like it. What was the range of that?
Well, I think majority of people enjoyed it, and then there's also people who, you know, will be like, well, how did he actually survive? Like, you know, if you're blind, and then people also want to know answers to questions that, you know, we didn't force feed the audience any sort of answers or extra info. And, you know, people always sort of want to pick apart the story or how did that actually happen? And it's like, that's the beauty of a movie. Like, anything can happen, you know? And that's the fun in watching people kind of squirm and figure out how they're going to survive. And so for me, it's just kind of whatever.
I was kind of expecting a bigger twist. I was hoping for a few more nuggets based on what Mara found in the ambulance about Ben's situation. I'm like, okay, so how did that start? What's going on here? What's he doing? And you left me hanging. I'm like, oh, really?
I know. And that's something that we toyed with so much, where it's like, do we have a confrontation between the two of them? And we did. We originally had it written that Mara would confront Ben and say, you know, what happened and what's going on here? And, you know, can I trust you? Like, what's going on? And we just decided to leave it up in the air because we just decided to leave it up in the air because it was, as we were filming, it was ever evolving, and so we would cut things and change the script as we went, and it was just a creative decision to just kind of plant the info there, and if the audience catches it, then they do, and if they don't, then they don't, and we were not going to add that confrontation. We're just going to leave it up to, no, the zombies are coming now, so we actually can't talk about it.
I thought the questioning would start when inside the factory when she's about to go into labor, because you know she's got that question in her mind: can I trust this man to help me at my most vulnerable point? And then the question is hanging there, and I'm waiting for the answer, and zombies come, and I'm like, oh, really? Yep. Well, it is an entertaining and intriguing film, and Glad to hear that the baby didn't come out with any zombie nightmares or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. He's only one, so anything could happen. I don't know. We have a 3-year-old, and he always wants zombie makeup put on him. And anyway, that's another story. He wasn't even involved.
Oh, great. Well, Liv, thank you so much for your time today. The movie is Dead Sight. It'll be available on DVD, on demand, and digital on July 2nd. Check it out for a quieter zombie apocalypse film. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And if you get a chance, go check out Dead Sight. It's okay. It's not horrible. Trust me, I have seen far, 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 far worse movies. And the effects and the atmosphere really are engaging, compelling. But there were too many holes in the story for me to fully enjoy it as much as I would have wanted to. That's the thing about storytelling. There are a lot of movies out there that are merely a sequence of events. Not necessarily do those things make a full story. And sometimes budget's the reason, other times, I don't know. But Dead Sight's actually pretty engaging, especially given that she was 7 months pregnant during filming most of it, which is a feat worthy of accolades in itself. Anyway, the Krypton Season 1 Blu-ray contest will be ending this weekend. We will be starting on July 8th, starting up a contest for a Blu-ray combo pack copy of the new Pet Sematary. So keep an eye out for that. And for the folks who won the Secret Sauce contest a couple of weeks ago, yes, I still haven't mailed out your prizes, but I brought them with me on my road trip to send them out. And as soon as I find a post office near me, they will be going out. Having this past week be a holiday messed with postal schedules, just saying. But if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can just send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. I do answer your questions, both email-wise or in the voicemail, or sometimes social media. Go ahead, send in your questions, send in your comments. I will get to them eventually, time permitting, traveling permitting. I guess it's not actually traveling that I'm doing right now. Anyway, you can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, through Stitcher, through Google Play, TuneIn, and Player FM. If you would, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher so people know that you are enjoying the show and maybe they should check it out for themselves. As I said before, find us on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Yes, that is me doing the tweeting. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi on both of those sites. And as always, there is SliceOfSciFi.com, the website that is the hub of all this geeky sci-fi madness, you can leave a comment on the interviews of the shows or the reviews of the movies and DVDs and TV shows that we've done. Head on over there, start a conversation, have fun. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support all of the things we do here. Your pledges through Patreon and your donations through PayPal truly are appreciated, and they do keep the lights running, the lights on and the bits running around here. So if you'd like to help, you can head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi, and sign up for pledges there. Yes, people do get prizes through there, or at least offered. Having a tough time getting people to actually accept some of the gifts, some of the perks. So, hey, joining the fun. I wonder if it's a actual thing. I offer up a book or a DVD and somebody says, nah, pass it on to the next person. Anyway, if you want to only donate every now and then, feel free to use the paypal.me link. That's paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And as I said, all of the nickels and dimes help keep this internet thing we're doing running. I'd like to also throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music for the show here. I love those guys, and I can't wait to hear their next album. And if you want to check out more by them, you can head on over to their website, sci-fried.com, or search for them on YouTube and be highly entertained by their music videos. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.